And Lord, we ask that you give us a sense of your nearness as well, that we would remember that you are with us. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday was a special day. I was reflecting on this with Sam before the service, but I can count a number of days in my life that are deeply significant, and last Sunday was one of them. If some of you maybe didn't witness it, but if you didn't, let me remind you of what happened. Taylor Swift was at the Super Bowl. I mean, what a day it was. Amazing. In all seriousness, for those of you who weren't here, we had some confirmations and an ordination, and it was a wonderful day of our community, God being present with us. And I'm thankful to you all for your encouragement and your support in these years of this journey for me. But I don't want to actually talk about last Sunday. I want to talk a little bit more about last Wednesday, this past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, when we began our Lenten journey. We were invited to keep a holy Lent. We were encouraged by the prayer book that this would be a season of renewal of repentance and renewal of faith. And Father Joe preached to us on Wednesday about not minimizing our sin, about recognizing that God is our arbitrator, that he is our judge, to renew our repentance this season. We also prayed on Wednesday through the Litany of Penitence, which is in our prayer book. This is a wonderful guide to reflect on your sin. And I would encourage you, as I've been encouraged at times, to use this litany throughout this season. At another point, take your prayer book, a journal, an hour of quiet, and read through this litany again as you think about your own sin, as you self-examine yourself. It's been a helpful guide to me to do that. And as we walk into that road of repentance, we discover soon, I'm sure you all have this experience, that this is a dry, barren place when we begin to reflect on our sin. Not a place of comfort, not a place of abundance. We find shame, we find disappointment. This can be an isolating experience, contemplating our sin. For what are we doing but probing those times when we've pushed others away and when we've pushed God away? But soon we discover, as we begin to walk into this place of reflection on our sin, we discover that we are not alone. For in the wilderness, we find Jesus. And in him and through him, this renewal of repentance can become a renewal of faith. This then is what I hope to communicate a bit this morning, that this season in which we seek to renew our repentance, we might also be renewed in our faith. Consider again Mark's account of Jesus' baptism in the wilderness. Mark wastes no time, right? Immediately. Everything's immediately. We have John crying in the wilderness. We have crowds coming to see him. But this forerunner makes no mistake about who is the center. For so quickly in the gospel comes Jesus. He too is baptized. And as he emerges from the water, we read that the heavens are opened. This is an easy moment to minimize, an easy moment to read past. Either I've grown accustomed to the prophets and their apocalyptic language, or the dove comes and I'm thinking about commonplace things. But consider this again. The heavens are torn asunder. There's no mere bird, but the Holy Spirit descends. And a voice comes from heaven. Isaiah, at the end of his ministry, prayed, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, recounts God saying, "Behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare a way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple." John has called for repentance. The Lord whom he seeks has come. With the heavens torn apart, Jesus is named as the beloved Son of the Father, the one in whom he is well pleased. This is a moment worthy of pause. This is a moment that can renew our faith. We recently discovered that Elizabeth, who's not here today, is a big fan of Gerard Manley Hopkins, and I have long appreciated his poems. I was thinking about one of them this past week, and he uses this word in the poem Pied Beauty. He uses this word, speaking of the creative work of God. He said, "God fathers forth." I appreciate this phrase, "God fathers forth." I'll read you a section from this poem. "All things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, adazzle, dim, he fathers forth, whose beauty is past change. Praise him." God fathers forth his beloved Son. Not as a creation. This is no creature made of a creator. God incarnate is brought forth by the Father in heaven. God incarnate stands on the shores of the Jordan River. On this very earth, which we stand, he stood. The Lord has come into his temple. And then, so quickly, God the Spirit fathers forth the Son into the wilderness. But that's not what it says. It says the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness. Mark's account is brief of the temptation, right? No stones into bread, no sparring with Scripture. But he does include some different details, and this is one. The Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness. And this, frankly, doesn't sound pleasant. I hear this word drive, and I think Egyptians, driving the Israelites to make more bricks with less straw. What about Augustine's idea? The Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son, and the Son and the Father. But here, the Spirit drives forth Jesus. This verb Mark uses, he uses later in his gospel to describe demons being driven out. Exorcism. And so maybe this isn't so curious after all. Maybe this verb drive points ahead. Jesus, driven into the wilderness, begins his great exorcism. "For he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan." 40 days with the greatest of demons. Again, a few details. Simply 40 days with Satan. Nonetheless, there are many layers that come to mind for us. In Noah's day, 40 days and nights of rain cleansing the wickedness of the earth. Moses on Mount Sinai for 40 days in a cloud receiving the law. For 40 days, Joshua and his spies peeked on the promised land. And then, of course, the big one, right? Because of their doubt and their sin, because of their rebellion, 40 years, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. Jesus, for 40 days in the wilderness, takes all of this history upon himself. This human history. The man Jesus walking the ways men of all time have walked and will walk. And this brings us back one more layer. When we see Jesus tempted by Satan, we can't help but think of Adam and Eve in the garden, again, facing the enemy, preferring the lies of the devil to the truth of God. So this is the story that Jesus is driven into. These are stories of humanity. Stories of the past Jesus carries with him for these 40 days. Perhaps in these 40 days he also carries with him stories of the future. Stories of you and I preferring the ways of the devil. Stories of you and I choosing ourselves over others. Moments when we get in the way of God and his work. So what does Jesus do with all these stories of sin for 40 days? He rewrites them. He doesn't erase this history, but he uses it to lead us along a new exodus. For there, in the wilderness, we find Christ. We are not alone. He is there to lead us, and this renews my faith. The beloved Son of the Father, God among us, he is fathering us forth, encouraging us to consider our sin, driving us, great exorcist he is, away from the lies that are so tempting, and leading us to God alone. He is there in our wilderness because he was in his wilderness, the great high priest that can sympathize with our sin. Or as our collect prayed earlier, come quickly help us as you know the weaknesses of each. He knows them. He knows our particular wildernesses. And so a renewal of repentance is also a renewal of faith. For when I go to the place that I don't want to go, but I find him there, I'm heartened. My heart turns to him. My faith is renewed. When I haven't minimized my sin, but see it for what it is, then I acknowledge anew how I need a Savior. And the opposite is true also, isn't it? When I find myself sufficient for the things of my life, when I avoid thinking about those times when I am not sufficient, then I tell myself I don't need him. And my faith is not renewed. In the wilderness, God incarnate is waiting for us, waiting to turn a place of shame into a place of comfort. Waiting for our repentance to be a true turning to him. Along with the picture of Jesus walking in the wilderness, our readings this morning give us another image. Peter writes at the end of the passage we read of the resurrected Christ, ascended to heaven at the right hand of the Father, with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him, Christ the King. Christ reigning over all the powers within this world and without of this world. And when I see the image of Christ the King next to the image of Christ in the desert, my faith is renewed. The one who carried the troubles of this world sits over the troubles of this world. The one who is put to death in the flesh is made alive in the spirit. The one who suffered once for sin promised to bring me to the Father. And so the tempted Christ is the victorious Christ. And my faith is renewed. My faith is also renewed simply by the wonder of all the gospel stories. This arc from Christ in the desert to Christ on the throne and everything that lies between. Did you catch that detail in the gospel? Mark does, again, doesn't give us much, but he tells us that Christ was with the wild animals. Now some have said this is a suggestion that this is a dangerous place, which I'm sure that it was. But others say maybe this is kind of a Narnia moment or a St. Francis kind of a thing. He's come into the world. He's descended. And here he is in his holy temple, and he's tamed Satan, and he's tamed the wild animals too. And suddenly this picture of Jesus in the wilderness is not that different from the picture that Peter gives us of the resurrected Christ, the right hand of the Father. This is the Christ we find when we go to the wilderness. This is Jesus waiting for us to renew our repentance so that he might renew our faith. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are so grateful that you came among us and that you walked the paths of this earth, that you walked into the wilderness. Thank you for renewing our faith, for being present to comfort and sustain us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.